Live from WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Monday, April 28th, 2025. Tonight on WNUR News, outfit inspiration for this year's Dillo Day, a look at Ryan Coogler's Sinners, the culture around gatekeeping, and this week's B-List. Those stories and more tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for swinging by. As Dillo Day rapidly approaches, the talk of the town is what to wear. Ilse von Heimberg has more on all of the festival fashion.
Northwestern's 53rd Dillo Day is less than 3 weeks away, and there's a question on everyone's mind. What to wear? As festival season ramps up for influencers going to Coachella and Stagecoach, prompting a wave of clothing content, Northwestern students are similarly searching for the perfect outfit.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what route I'm going to go, but I feel like you can kind of go the, like, carnival character route with, like, you know, the clown or, like, carnival animal, like, that sort of thing. Or even just kind of, like, things that I think at carnival, like, polka dots or stripes or, like, the gingham pattern with, like, cowboy boots. Kind of, like, what you might wear to a carnival combined with just those, like, carnival patterns.
That was Justine Lofwall, a Weinberg sophomore. Lofwall is an avid sewer and a member of the Unity Fashion Show. She said she has high hopes for Dillo Weekend fashion.
I feel like there will be a lot of repeats, like people kind of in the same sort of thing. But I imagine some people will get really creative with it. And I feel like the setup for Dillo will be really good.
Brett Rogers, a Medill sophomore and a member of Stitch Fashion Magazine's styling team, had a similar prediction.
I think there's going to be, like, a small group that really, really goes for it, and then I think a lot of people are not going to go, like, too extreme.
Stitch sets the bar for Dillo fashion every year when it releases its lookbook, giving students an idea of how to interpret the theme.
I found them very helpful just in, like, seeing different options and ways to take it, because at first I was kind of just stuck in, like, thinking what you would normally wear to a carnival and not just, like, the theme as a whole.
This year, Stitch partnered with Lost Eras, a vintage costume and consignment shop just off the Howard Station.
I mean, the partnership with the consignment shop was great because we didn't have to go purchase any of the clothing that we were using. I do think that this is the kind of theme where a lot of people will buy a lot of clothes and then just, like, donate them, which I try not to do.
Roger said she is looking to raid her own closet and see what she already has before going out to buy things for Dillo. She compared Dillo to the Eras Tour, when thrift stores filled up with sparkly outfits soon after Taylor Swift left town.
I know, like, students will just sell the Crossroads or contribute back to the local community, which is fine, but it's definitely something I try to think about personally.
As for the Dillo theme itself, it's a matter of what direction to take it in.
Honestly, I was very confused, just because I wasn't sure, like, what options there would really be to wear and if it meant, like, kind of like summer carnival aesthetic or like Mardi Gras carnival.
Lena Rock, a Weinberg freshman, pointed out that the theme could also be interpreted as Carnival, a festival typically held before Lent and characterized by bright colors and feathers.
You know, like, some people are, like, not doing carnival or instead doing carnival, and I think that will be really interesting, but also, like, even in carnival itself, I think there could be some really interesting looks.
Roger said the carnival theme is all about the theatrics.
This year, it was very much like, what are the different, like, characters you could play? So there was, like, ringleader at the circus. Like, I know one of them on the lookbook was, like, animal-inspired, like, circus animal kind of thing. Yeah, I think we kind of just try to picture it as, like, a story. Like, the theme is a story, and then we try to identify, like, different archetypes that people could dress as and go from there.
So, the million-dollar question. What is everyone wearing?
After seeing the inspiration, I almost want to go kind of like vintage carnival route and see if I can find some sort of like vintage top or like those kind of like bloomer shorts with the diamonds, like something like that.
I'm wearing like a black corset, white shorts, probably white frilly socks. I thought I could work with that, especially with some of the stuff in my closet already.
Inspired by a stuffed animal hoodie worn by Stephanie Hsu in Everything Everywhere All at Once, Roger said she's thinking about sewing stuffed animals onto a pair of green overalls to mimic a claw machine game. But if that doesn't work out, she'll be leaning into the clown aesthetic.
But I'm just not, like, crafty enough for it, so there's the vision for that, but I have no way to make it real. But I think I'm going to end up wearing, like, a little bit of clowny. I'm going to utilize a lot of makeup.
No matter how people dress, whether it's in a full ringleader costume or a pair of polka dot shorts, Dillo is always one of the best days of the year.
Something really special about Dillo is that I feel like most of the time when people go to concerts, they dress for the artist. And for Dillo, obviously people just mostly try to dress for the theme. So one of my favorite like parts fashion-wise about Dillo is going and like obviously the headliner is a rap artist and people will be dressed in their little carnival outfits and it'll be like a little bit mismatchy. So I think it'll be really cute.
For WNUR News, I'm Ilse von Heimberg.
Hey, I didn't drop the muscle, that struggle was tough in the book like a knuckle. Got to that back, need a chip like a roughly double. Now I can take care of my mother. Just got me a house, watch the price.
Now, diving headlong into the world of arts and entertainment. Ryan Coogler's Sinners is taking the box office by storm, but this film isn't your typical horror movie. Max Milo has the story.
Written and directed by Black Panther and Creed director Ryan Coogler, Sinners is taking the box office by storm, raking in $42.6 million opening weekend and now well above $70 million and climbing. The film is an undeniable success.
All money come with blood, baby.
Set in the 1930s South during the Jim Crow era, Sinners involves everything from guitar riffs to vampires to the KKK. In the film, Michael B. Jordan stars as a pair of twins named Smoke and Stack, who return to their hometown in the Delta after an unsuccessful stint in Chicago. Their goal? Set up a lively juke joint the night of their return and make bank. But the plan goes awry when vampires begin to lay siege to the establishment.
You keep dancing with the devil. One day he's going to follow you home.
One might assume a film involving vampires and guitar riffs cannot possibly take itself that seriously. Wrong. Sinners knows exactly how to ride that line, or lines, I guess, of comedy, drama, action, horror, and fantasy. And it has the reviews to prove it. Its Rotten Tomatoes rating currently sits at 98% fresh. I went to the theater this week to get a first-hand account.
I've liked all of Ryan Coogler's movies in the past. I'm a vampire fan. I heard that there was blues music in it, and I'm also a big blues music fan. And so, yeah, seemed like a perfect middle of a Venn diagram of stuff I like.
Well, honestly, I'm not a big TV person. So honestly, I didn't even see the previews. Like social media, so many people were talking about it over the weekend. And so I kept hearing about it. So today I went to YouTube and watched the trailer and I was like, oh, it looks pretty good.
I interviewed Robbie and Genesis, two moviegoers here in Evanston, about their opinion on the film.
I loved it. It was actually a lot more than I was kind of just expecting, like a vampire movie. And then I got a lot more than what I expected. I thought it was really good. It's like the From Dusk Till Dawn element is just like to get people in. There's a lot more once you're in there. And it delivers on that promise and gives you so much more.
Genesis was less of a fan.
Even though I watched the trailer, I didn't catch that it was about vampires. So and I'm not really into that. So I thought that it was going really well until that part, which, I mean, I was able to sit through it. Like, I would still recommend it and tell people that it's worth seeing, but that wasn't really my cup of tea. I don't know what else I would have wanted them to be or turn into, but I didn't really like the vampires.
Regardless of their experience during the film, both agreed on the importance of original films.
Yes, I mean, yes, make more original movies, more movies like this. I would watch 20 of these before I'd watch the millionth Jurassic Park movie. Not that those can't be good. I've seen plenty that I really enjoyed, but I would much prefer original films from original filmmakers. Just give them lots of money to make movies like this.
Something particularly of note regarding Sinners, the director Ryan Coogler struck a rare deal with Warner Brothers. After 25 years, Coogler will receive the rights to the film. Typically, directors working with big studios do not receive any ownership rights.
I do appreciate when it's more original, and it seems like whenever they remake movies, it never lives up to the original, so I feel like they should stop trying. So I do appreciate something fresh.
Coogler seems to have the right idea, as this audience appreciates novelty over remakes in the movies they watch. Time will only tell how successful this film becomes. Already a smash hit, Sinners is certainly paving the way for more creativity and more directorial ownership. For WNUR News, I'm Max Milo. When I pick poor Robin clean, when I be satisfied.
These days, gatekeeping gets a bad rap. But is it actually bad? We won't gatekeep the answer. William Kramer has the story.
Did you discover Steve Lacy before Gemini Writes? Do you write all your poetry at the Marjorie Weinberg Garden? Did you start drinking Coffee Lab in your freshman year? Did you share these things with other people? In the era of the internet, with information so easily accessible, people have resorted to gatekeeping in order to protect the exclusivity of their favorite things.
I feel like I have been gatekept stuff, like, honestly, my whole life. I feel like this is a normal thing that happens a lot. Even, like, on TikTok, they'll be like, oh, like, I got this nice lipstick, but they won't say, like, what lipstick it was, stuff like that.
That's Stephanie Martinez, a self-described lifelong victim of gatekeeping. Her stance, gatekeeping is not girl boss.
Honestly, I don't mind if the things I like go mainstream. Like, I don't need to be, like, an underground person. Like, I'm fine if people have my same interest. Life is too short to be living like that. Like, just enjoy the things you like and do the things you love and stop worrying if other people are doing the same thing. Like, it's fine to share and have fun together.
Martina says she shares all her secret finds with friends. Still, she recognizes the downside of publicity.
The only time it's annoying, it's like, I guess when it's a singer, in the case that, like, now I can't get concert tickets, but it was just bad if it comes to, like, oh, I can't get tickets, or oh, they're overpriced now.
But what if there is some value to nicheness? As much as she likes the idea, Martinez also recognizes that bringing things into the mainstream is a double-edged sword.
I kind of wish, like, beautiful places and, like, cool stores weren't as gatekept, but I guess, like, that's what makes it so cool and beautiful, because, like, not that many people know about it, but it would be nice if it wasn't as gatekept.
Martinez isn't the only one on the fence about the utility of gatekeeping. Weinberg Jr. Stella Bishop agrees that there's a time and place for it.
Spots to hang out. I feel like you want to keep that gate kept because then it would get super crowded and it wouldn't be a good spot to hang out.
Martinez and Bishop can see the value in gatekeeping, but they don't do it themselves. McCormick Jr. Ty Bennett, on the other hand, is readily willing to admit to gatekeeping.
I mostly gatekeep things that are smaller, more personal to me, that make certain things in my life better, but don't detract from others. For example, small things, like it could be certain foods I like, places on campus I like to go to, old video games I like to play, TV shows I like to watch, smaller things that are more leisure and things that only benefit me.
Bennett likes to keep his gates kept, so he didn't reveal many specifics, but these days it's impossible to hide cool stuff for long. Recently, one of his favorite things at Northwestern has become so popular that he has given up on keeping it a secret entirely.
I can say this now because it is very public. On Friday and Saturdays, lunch and dinner, Plex Dining Hall has the best tacos imaginable. You can get as many as you want. They're delicious. They cook the taco shell and the meat for you. They have so many toppings to go with it. It's amazing. And at the beginning of the school year, normally there are very few people in line for Plex tacos because the freshmen haven't discovered it yet. But as the quarter moves along, people know when Plex tacos are and everyone wants them. So around right when class lets out, there's a huge line at Plex Tacos, which means that there's less food, you have to wait longer, and then typically to be able to feed that many people, the food is lower quality. It's hard to eat Plex tacos later in the school year because everyone knows Plex tacos, everyone knows it's good. And as someone who's been doing it for the past 2 years, Plex tacos for me is a very sacred place. And when there is a large line, it just feels less sacred, it's less special.
Clearly, Bennett feels strongly about the issue, and reasonably so. When Plex tacos went mainstream, the experience actually changed for the worse. To me, at the heart of gatekeeping is the desire for the things we like to belong to us. It's harmless, really, as long as you aren't going out of your way to exclude people. There's no need to burst open the gates, but maybe just leave them slightly ajar? Although it's pretty much impossible to keep the Steve Lacy's and the Plex Tacos of the world under wraps forever, the time where only we knew about them will always be special to us. And hey, now we can be a little smug that we were there first. For WNUR News, I'm William Kramer.
It's Monday, which means it's time for the B-List. Reporter Ella Barnes has the scoop on all things pop culture.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, JoJo Siwa on Big Brother, new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, sinners at the box office, and Lorde's new music. Stick with me. In celebrity news, JoJo Siwa, one of the world's biggest attention grabbers, is making headlines for a new kind of scandal. Public relationship drama involving a man. She and Love Island star Chris Hughes entered the Celebrity Big Brother UK house on April 7th as strangers and, in just 21 days, exited with a relationship so close they're now defending it on British morning television. Kath Ebbs claimed in a TikTok posted on April 26th that JoJo Siwa ended their relationship at the Celebrity Big Brother UK after party. Ebbs shared that Siwa told them that she, quote, had confused feelings and realized during the show that Ebbs wasn't the person she wanted to spend her future with. In music, after 4 years, Lorde is back with a new single titled What Was That, released over the weekend. The song dives into themes of nostalgia, heartbreak, and self-discovery, and marks her first new music since her 2021 album Solar Power. Cyndi Lauper stands out as the only female solo artist among this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, a class otherwise dominated by male acts. Announced during the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night episode of American Idol on April 27th, the new inductees include Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, and White Stripes, marking a return to a more traditional rock lineup. In film, Warner Bros. Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler and starring Michael B. Jordan, continued its box office domination this weekend with a stunning $45.7 million, dropping just 5% from its opening. The supernatural vampire film has now earned $123.2 million domestically and $163.2 million globally, defying early doubts and breaking records for an R-rated horror title. Sinners is being praised for its broad audience appeal, near-perfect scores, and some of the best reviews in Coogler's career. Sinners also marks another milestone in the collaboration between Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, who have worked together on every one of Coogler's films since 2013's Fruitvale Station. Coogler, now backed by a groundbreaking deal with Warner Bros. That grants him ownership rights after 25 years, is redefining what is possible for directors in Hollywood. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Barnes.
Taking a look into the headlines. A protest took place outside Table to Sticks restaurant in Evanston Saturday as one organizer demanded a shutdown. This came after a video went viral of the restaurant owner following and threatening a black patron over an alleged low tip. Owner Chow publicly apologized for his actions, with community members split on the best way to proceed. Northwestern fans may recognize the likes of Colston Loveland, a Michigan tight end, who the Bears drafted in the first round Thursday. They rounded out their draft with a few other Big Ten foes, including Maryland's Reuben Hippolyte II, Michigan State's Luke Newman, and Rutgers' Kyle Monongai. Today is Election Day in the Great White North. What was once an election that favored the Conservative Party has now become a tight race due to tariff concerns. According to the New York Times, surveys favored the Liberal Party and Prime Minister Mark Carney, with Conservative Pierre Poilievre trailing shortly behind. Millions were left without power today in parts of Spain and Portugal, meaning trapped trains for some and a lack of cell service for others. While power has returned in some capacity, leaders have still yet to determine a cause. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Ilse von Heimberg, Max Milo, William Kramer, and Ella Barnes. From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast on Wednesday, April 30th at 6 p.m. Now, back to scheduled programming.